Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 173 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined as always by my mainest and whitest collarist man, Willie Saylor. Willie, how was your weekend? You went nowhere, right?
I went nowhere. Stayed home, watched wrestling. Actually, I went to Sion's house Friday.
Oh. Do you have any good Sion stories?
No, but he called Pup Simmons puppy again, and he for sure says he doesn't care that he gets a name wrong. He just keeps going with it. PFAR. We're waiting for the Iowa. So this is what happened. You can't get Big Ten Network down here if you're on Time Warner / Spectrum or some odd thing. I called to get it. They were like, you have to switch cable plans or something. Time Warner got bought by Spectrum. Anyway, it was a goofy thing. So Sion's like, come over here. So I go over Sion's, and he made food for like a village. He has this big old house.
For all of Jamaica.
He has this big old house, and there's like 12 people in there. There's like 12 of his buddies there. Not 12, 6. And
you're so sensationalizing.
Massive amounts of food, which was excellent, by the way. And so we're waiting for the Iowa Penn State match to start, and I'm watching Minnesota Nebraska, and he looks over and goes, PFAR is in overtime.
Like, yes, he was.
PFAR is in overtime. Studebaker.
Oh, did he try Studebaker?
He didn't attempt a Studebaker. No.
We got to get him up.
We should try. We should have just a segment, Names with Sion.
Yeah. Phonetics with Sion.
Puppy Simmons.
PFAR. McCutcheon eked it out against Cash Wilkes.
Yeah, the Huskers had good. They're 97. Studebaker pushed overtime with Farr. And then Jensen overtime with Krells.
All right.
And then Lambert backpacked Lezak.
Yeah.
You see that?
He was kind of, no, unfortunately.
Yeah, Lezak was on top, and Lambert was like trying to get hit separation and swimming and around. Eventually he did, and he stuck him. So there was, you know, obviously we're going to talk a lot about Iowa, Iowa-Penn State duel, but that was an interesting bout, or that interesting result. I think there were 4 or 5 at the time, or 5 and 6.
Lambert was down around 8 or so, but now he has 2 wins over Lezak this year. And I think what it does is it says there's clear division from the top 3 and everyone else.
Right, yeah.
Gilman, Dance, Soriano, and I think we saw Soriano. What, you can put him on that tier right now.
Yeah.
it's more that tier's kind of confirmed after that match.
Right, and then Lambert is four, and this is something like Lambert, Lizak, Cruz.
Right.
Yep.
So clear division there, in my opinion.
And a lot of inconsistency.
For sure.
Well, yeah, you know. Is it inconsistency or is it parity in that next tier of 125?
I would say parity. With that group, I would say it's parity. I think they're all pretty similar. Yeah. Zach, Cruz, so, Lambert.
So Christian invited me to look at the spreadsheet as he's doing rankings yesterday, and it prompted me to I don't do anything with the rankings, right? I just like to look at them as Christian's making decisions. And one thing, so as a result, I tweeted, man, it's a pretty thin year this year,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think you necessarily agree with.
I've said it all year that it is a thin year.
It is
year.
A thin year.
But you were like, name one, but then you made it like, name one weight that's good, two weights that are good. I was like, there's some good weights. There's some real.
Yeah, there's some. 84 is good, right?
I think 74 is really good.
Yeah, no, there's some good weights. There's just, and it happens in high school too. It's like when you take out the seniors, this is a different case, but when you take out the seniors in high school every April or May, right? I take out the seniors, and then you get a new 20, and it's like,
country stinks.
This, it's going to be a down year for this country, you know, in high school wrestling. It's not. They fill in. Right, it ends up being a new crop. You're just not used to seeing them as much, but this year in college, it just seems like, I don't know. It seems like you hit number four and they're not an AA.
Well, I think AA is a little misleading. Yeah, Nick Sirianni is not all American. Well, he's a true freshman.
Well, I mean, I certainly understand that Nick Sirianni.
Well, my point is, you sent that tweet out. I'm like, okay, there aren't guys ranked third that are All-Americans, but there's probably guys ranked sixth, seventh, and eighth that are. Like, they're just being passed by guys that are even better. If you're going to make All-American the standard and then look at three, okay, yeah, Nick Sirianni is not All-American, but Darian Cruz is, but Connor Yutzi is, Dylan Peters is. So there's three guys that are behind three that are all Americans. I could do that for every weight. I guarantee it.
I guess I can't quantify it. I can't put a finger on why I think it's down. I look at like a number 12 guy in some ways. I'm like, this guy's ranked 12th in the country?
Yeah.
Like,
Brian Murphy, shots fired. He's ranked 12th right now.
Okay, some weights, right? Some weights good.
Wow.
I mean, okay.
All-American,
I don't want to.
Michigan.
So essentially, what you're going to do is you're going to make me call people out, right?
No. There's some weights.
There's some guys that are ranked 10th in the country, and I'm like, no offense, but I cannot believe this guy's ranked 10th in the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
There's some weights that are not.
I mean, I don't know.
Particularly inspiring.
Maybe there's some weights this year, but in the past, I've been like, this guy's ranked 16th. He's gonna upset the apple cart at NCAAs. I don't see that this year.
You know how I know I brought this up earlier in the year is because I made this point about how the first year I was ranking, Drake Houdeshell was in and out of the rankings that entire year. And
yeah.
He was really good, and he was in and out of the rankings. I remember saying that a couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
talking about it's just not as good as it was a couple years ago. But a couple years ago, it was amazing. You know, Jordan Oliver one year was like ninth or tenth in the pound for pound.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just like a crazy year where you had multiple NCAA champions. So I believe that it's probably just cyclical and things like
for
that.
For sure. Go. And it's weight too, right? It's like, it's a situation because 84 is wonderful.
74 is good. 33 is really fun. You know, 25 is strangely one of the weaker weights.
Bring up 33.
Just bring it up. You know, you have this, but you know, you can just stare over my shoulder. You know,
like there's guys.
Connor Schramm's an All-American.
There's guys at 33 that I'm like, they could upset people at the dance.
Earl Hall's a two-time AA, ranked 12th. Since you hate the 12th ranked guys.
Okay.
So far, All-Americans
now,
all ranked 12th.
There's a case to be made there, though. There's a point to be made there. Earl Hall is having a terrible year.
Yes.
You can't just say, Earl Hall is really good and he's ranked 12th.
Right.
No, you're right. Earl Hall is having a terrible year.
Yeah.
And that's probably, I don't know, it's probably a little liberty with him being 12th.
Yeah, is it? I don't know. He beat. Well, the thing is, he beat Jamal Morris, who's ranked 14th this year, which maybe that's a sign of something. Yeah, he's not been good this year, period. But 12th is probably fair. So really, and you know, Iowa State. You know that those articles come out. Did you see those, Willie?
Iowa State. Yeah.
You don't see. You do not see this in wrestling.
No. You don't. And that's, it's a good segue to Peters. We'll talk about this and then we'll talk about Peters. But you're right. You don't see this in wrestling, and you should. You really should.
Yes.
And it's something I've been saying for a long time, is that most programs do not really care about the performance of their wrestling team. And so I think what you're saying is you don't get public comments from an AD regarding their performance, plus or minus, good or bad, about their wrestling team. And
specifically as it pertains to the coach, the coach's evaluation.
And the job, right? Now, obviously, Iowa State's having a terrible year.
They're 1-7.
Terrible year. For whatever I did to God, he has made me hang out with Sion a bunch the past couple weeks, right? And Sion's an alumni of Iowa State. He was on the team with...
meant to be a Hawkeye. That's another story.
That's another story.
No, let's tell it. But then we got to get him to tell it. But Sion, I didn't want to tease it. Sion was planning on going to Iowa.
Sion's from New York. He's from Jamaica and went to New York, started wrestling in high school.
And then he was like, I'm going to Iowa, be a Hawkeye. But he goes to Iowa State, and like the bus takes him to Iowa State, and he's like, okay, I'll just go here. Basically, that's how it happened. Right, Willie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here.
All right, well.
He said he was on the campus tour when he got there, and they were like Hawkeyes or Cyclones, and he's like, I thought we were Hawkeyes. They're like, that's down the road. And he's like, yeah.
I'll just go here.
This is Iowa State. All right, I'll just go here. So, Sion went on the wrestling team. Bobby Douglas kicked him off a couple times. Not kicked him off. Cut him, because, I mean, Sion's a square dude. Like, he does everything he's supposed to, you know, seeing salt of the earth. But he wasn't that great of a wrestler.
Never developed from neutral.
Yeah.
I just made that up.
So, anyway, the point of this is Sion is he loves Iowa State. And so all I hear about it this year is, man, I can't believe we're this bad. And I think their fans can't believe that they're that bad either. You know,
I go back and forth on Iowa State.
So do I. I've always defended kind of like, well, they don't have great regular seasons, but sometimes there were a couple years where they really showed up at NCAAs. And I'll tell you what, Kevin Jackson alluded to that. Very subtly, he said one of the quotes was, Pollard is concerned about our regular season when you don't perform in dual meets.
Right.
Kind of very subtle, like, we get it done in March, or we will get it done in March, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but their individuals are down this year too, right? I mean,
yeah, they're not having a strong year. But you know, I wrestle with what should the standards at Iowa State be? Also, I feel like the parallel there is like they're Notre Dame football in a way, in that they had this great tradition, they've done really well, and the situation around the school, I think it limits how good they can be. I don't think you can't get the best guys in to Notre Dame. The best athletes don't want to go there. You're not in a fertile recruiting ground. Iowa, they're the number two team in Iowa, a program or a state that is not ripe with blue chip talent right now. They're not a big athletic brand. And the kids that are in high school now, they don't know that. They just know, yeah, Iowa State used to be good. They didn't grow up seeing the tradition. So Iowa State, in my opinion, will never win NCAAs.
Completely different. Disagree.
Go ahead. Can they win NCAA? Can that program win NCAA?
Let's not set the bar at win NCAA.
Well, let's start there.
Let's set the bar at beating Cal Poly.
Okay. Right. Right. But I'm saying, if you're an Iowa State alum slash fan and you're like, we should be up right there with Penn State. We used to be getting second and third.
Used to be getting second and third.
Yes. I think
not too long ago.
Those days are gone.
Okay. Well, they're getting 11th now. Mm-hmm. They've been getting 11th.
I think that's the.
And it's not far away from getting 11th is one wrestler away from getting sixth. I mean,
I'll say this: their ceiling is like a Virginia Tech.
Maybe it is, but why aren't they doing that? They're a long. They don't hold a candle to Tech.
Well, they beat them last year in a duel.
Yeah, that they sat a bunch of guys. But anyway,
I know.
But you're contradicting yourself with the recruiting thing because they have
I know.
They have kids from every corner of the country.
And that's why
they got a kid from Pennsylvania. They got Michigan. A kid from Illinois. A kid from Michigan. A kid from they didn't have Mantonona. They did have Mantonona, right? But they're recruiting. They're recruiting
Oregon.
Really
yeah,
well.
I was gonna say, and that's what I was gonna say. That's why I wrestle with it because part of me is like, I don't know if they'll ever get the guys there. And then I'm like, they are getting. Really good wrestlers there consistently. Now they're not working out every time, but they're getting guys. So part of me is like
they can be a perennial top 10 team and a five-ish sometimes. I mean,
I'm saying.
Okay,
but they're not going to be. Notre Dame thinks they should still be winning national titles, and probably some Iowa State fans think that's what they should be doing. That's not realistic.
You know, they under Kale they took second, correct? Like multiple times, second, mm-hmm. second, third, right?
Yeah.
And you say that they kids don't remember that legacy. I mean,
maybe they do. You know, but they're attributing it to the guy that's in Happy Valley.
I mean, why
now.
Is Austin Gomez going to Iowa State? Why is Jared VerClaren going to Iowa State?
I have no idea.
Why? Okay, so there is obviously an attraction: Kanan Storr and Ian Parker and like these guys.
G. Graham. Yeah, I don't know.
Iowa State can be great. The larger point is, you know, what you're saying about fertile recruiting ground. I was okay. Hawkeyes are doing all right.
Yeah, because they're the number one brand. They wrestle in Carver Hawkeye Arena. They have a much better tradition than Iowa State. You can't compare those brands. You can't compare.
Maybe no, but Iowa hasn't won a title in like 6 years.
They're in the mix every single year. They have huge moments every single year. They have iconic wrestlers every year.
Yeah.
They have big moments. You can't compare those two.
Okay, but the larger point, right, is that you don't often hear comments like that coming from an AD.
Yes.
And so it's admitted that there was a conversation.
Yeah.
And KJ, to his credit, he said, it's not my duty. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable explaining what the conversation was. That's on Pollard. But there was a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I said, what I've always said, is that colleges need to hold their wrestling coach and their wrestling program accountable more than they do, because you see these coaches that they're going in the wrong direction. They're not producing the way they should produce. And like, just as long as
you know
the kids are getting good grades and they're not getting in trouble, that's not the threshold that we should hold.
Yeah. Don't get arrested.
You know. Yeah, yeah.
They went 0-19 in duels, but no one even got arrested.
No, they're fine. The APR is great. That's not the threshold that we should be holding. So, to perfect transition, I believe, to the Pitt story.
Wow. This was a number one stunner. I had no idea this was coming. Obviously, it was a, crazy development and some really interesting hijinks surrounding it. First of all, you never see
hijinks. I don't hear that word too often.
Yeah, and you don't see coaches fired, wrestling coaches fired in January often.
Yeah. So, to be honest, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cut down Jason Peters, but Pitt is a school exactly like Iowa State that should be performing and should always have been performing better than they have been, better than they are. And so, you know, we're here at Flow headquarters and we start getting texts and we start getting DMs and stuff and we're like, you know, hey, I heard Jason Peters is out at Pitt. Well, I'm not happy for Jason Peters, you know. Jason Peters is a good guy.
Yeah.
But to me, I said to myself, good, the AD is finally saying, hey, we should hold ourselves to a standard. We're in a good position here. And we could talk. We've talked all the time about how great a location Pitt is with the hubs of Akron, Northeast Ohio, and Western Pennsylvania. Might be the most fertile recruiting ground in the country, and they just don't perform. And so I thought that was, to me, I was like, yeah, they're finally holding them accountable.
No.
They're finally holding them accountable for a performance-based thing.
My first thought was someone did something really bad. Well, I did not.
Silly me.
You don't fire people in January for performance. I mean, especially in wrestling. Really, any sport, you hardly ever see it. But in the middle of the year, it makes no sense. So my spidey senses began tingling a little bit. And then, story comes out.
Tingling spidey senses.
Some craziness. This happened at Midlands, apparently. I don't even know how much we want to get into it. But there was Backpages.com. Are you familiar with this site?
Backpages?
Is that what it's called?
What is it called, Kyle?
Bracky, you're from West Virginia. You know about everything.
Know anything about Pitt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's from West Virginia.
He doesn't like Pitt. He has a mean chant, he says. He should.
About?
Don't say it.
Eat spit. Eat spit, Pitt.
He don't say spit.
No. I cleaned it up for daytime television.
Thanks. So, all right, there's a call at 2:30 a.m., there was money stolen by three women, apparently, but then, like, we don't want to press charges.
Ladies of the evening?
Perhaps. Perhaps they were ladies of the evening. It certainly was the evening, and they were confirmed ladies, but I'm not going there. They lost $300.
You're not going there. You just said it.
Well, it was, you know, never mind. Anyways. But I don't know what Peters had to do with that. Maybe he knew about it and wasn't forthright, or maybe just the fact that it happened on his watch. But either way, the situation merited him getting canned. So he's out.
So what do you know about it? Where do they go from here? Coker and
Headley.
Coker and Headley there. Do you think they stay with them? You have any intel?
Well, it's a very coveted position.
Yeah.
A lot of people want it. And I think for that reason, unless Coker and Headley just light it up this last bit, they're probably going to move on.
Do you think they're going to move on? I mean, you're good at news gathering, right? But I'm just taking this view from I don't know anything. And my view is they've always been an internal program. Like they've always.
That's what Peters was.
They always hired from within. So I don't know.
New AD, though. New AD.
There's a new AD, yeah.
New sheriff in town.
So if they open a national search, there's going to be high quality candidates.
That's the thing. I think there's going to be so many people interested inquiring about it that they're going to be like, hey, we have a chance to get X or Y or Z. And then Pitt's not going to do good this year. They maybe won't get an All-American. It's up to Forreese. He's probably their only shot. I don't see Campbell. I don't see Solomon. I don't see it happening. So they don't get an All-American, I think it's a pretty good reason for them to say, okay, we're moving on. We're going to try to get some new blood in here. And they're going to have there will be no shortage of options there.
I got a DM from the head coach of Northampton High School, right? And they have a kid, Seth Lisa, who wrestled at West Virginia, wrestled back in the day, District 11, you know? But he has a kid going there next year, signed there, and he's like, hey, what's the situation? I said, I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, but, you know, if they open up to a national search, it's going to be great. Great, though.
Pitt is a sleeping giant, I think.
Absolutely. There's no
Power
reason.
Power 5 conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Fully funded and then some. The funding situation is great. I was able to figure that out.
Southwest PA Wrestling, Northeast Ohio Wrestling, right in the middle. And we're, you know, it's one of the few, it's one of the few colleges that are, that's in a city, right? Like a Penn State's in the country, and Iowa's not in the country, but it's not exactly a bubbling metropolis. Stillwater in the country. So some kids are attracted to city campuses.
Right. So there's that as well. So more to come on the Pitt situation. Probably won't get a resolution there for months and months, well after NCAAs, the way these things drag on in wrestling forever. They fired Mark Cody the week before practice starts.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of chumps. That was stupid.
That was stupid. Okay, so we're 24 minutes into the show, and we haven't really talked wrestling yet.
We haven't
talked about a match. Well, we talked about Backpack.
We should do that. We mentioned Backpack. The big story, the hugest story, Mark Hall, red shirt removed. It was a great it was dramatic in that as soon as you get to Iowa City, it's like anyone you talk to, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? And then, towards the end there, so the day before, I got like probably four or five people are like, it's happening. And then the day of, everyone else I talked to were like, no, it's for real. It's really happening. Yeah. It's really happening. And then, you know, sure enough, it happens. And he walks out the tunnel. And then he's got a match to wrestle. And he goes down. And we can pull up
Well, I think his phone was probably getting blown up, too. Are you wrestling? Are you going? But here's.
So he comes out, and he's got, you know, a pretty tough guy, All-American Alex Meyer. And he comes out great. He gets the first takedown. He looks pretty good. But in the end, ultimately loses Willie. And, you know, I said this. I ate lunch with some people, and I was like, you know, if they do it, that is a tough, tough first varsity match. Carver Hawkeye, that place was insane. I mean, that place was good. Well, I made a point to like look around to find empty seats. I couldn't find any. I'm sure it wasn't their biggest crowd ever, but I couldn't find an empty seat. So he gives up this counter takedown and then later on gives up the re-attack high crotch. And I don't know if it was a nerves thing, it's a size thing, or you just say Meyer beat him. You know, Meyer straight up beat him there. It was one of the biggest surprises that maybe we shouldn't have been surprised about, Willie.
I don't think it's insanely surprising.
No.
I do think that, first of all, Carver Hawkeye is its own animal. It's its own thing, right? The home mat advantage is real there. It might be one of the best home field advantages in sports. And I'm not saying that to take anything away from Iowa. I'm not taking anything away from Brandon Sorensen or Alex Myers, but it's real, right? I think we can agree with that.
No question.
That being said, I think it was Mark Hall was visibly not himself, especially in the third period. And I know Mark, right?
But are there reasons for that? Is it just nerves? Or is it?
Right. He wasn't near as fluid and loose as he was in, say, the scuffle.
Right.
And you saw him get here and just kind of lose it. You saw him. Myers takes not a great shot, and he just goes to his butt. Yeah. I mean, that's not typical Mark Hall stuff.
No. I disagree. I think coaches around the country that have relevant 174 pounders are watching that and are saying, high crotch, head outside. That's how you beat him. That's how Price took him down. That's how Meyer took him down. He's too, but right now he's just clinging, hanging on there, squeezing for stalemates. You shoot head inside on Mark, it's often a stalemate at best. If you're head outside, There's something there. He's not stopping those. That's not a.
Perhaps you're right. I'm just saying, his feet weren't moving like typically does. Mark Hall's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there was maybe a little bit of myopia going around after he loses.
Oh, no, there was a lot. There was a lot of ridiculous things being said. A lot of
bad takes.
Like, oh, you know, this backfired. What did it backfire? He lost one match. He lost one match to a kid, an All-American.
This decision wasn't to win a duel in Iowa.
No.
By the way, guys.
Yeah.
It was to win NCAAs, to give them another bullet, another title contender. And he's ranked 11th right now, but he's a title contender. Yeah. He can win NCAAs this year.
I mean, he's beaten 4 and 5, right, or something like that.
5 and 6 and 14. So he's beating good guys.
Before we continue, though, like with Iowa, Penn State, did you see the Robuto? Because, okay, so Hall has pinned Price.
Yes.
And did you see that fall?
Yeah. Let's go. Number 5, Robuto. This is the Lehigh Cornell duel, and Price. This was like a tie match right now.
4-4
in the closing seconds of the battle. There's maybe like 15 seconds left.
Oh, is that what it was? 15 seconds. I absolutely hate non-control falls. Well, hate them.
But man, look how he's playing with dice here, rolling the dice here, playing with fire, rolling the dice. There. I mean, this is a move. Robuto is going for that though.
Sure. I just hate it.
What do you hate about it? Should you?
I just hate non-control falls.
Well then. Go do jujitsu or something where they just lie on their backs.
No.
If you love.
No, I'm not doing jujitsu.
Well, you hate wrestling because you don't even like pins anymore.
I'm not smashing pumpkins in the garage.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Have you seen Step Brothers?
Yeah.
Have you
ever
seen Step Brothers?
I thought Smashing Pumpkins was a band reference.
What do they. They carve up something, they smash watermelons or something.
What's that have to do with jujitsu?
Katanas.
That's karate. Wow, Willie. That is bad. Bad reference there by you.
That's karate.
Well, or something. Some sort of martial art.
They're having karate on Flow Combat this week. It's a real thing. Karate. Daniel LaRusso is going to fight.
He's going to fight?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Get back on topic? Can you get back on topic? Hall red shirt. What else do you want to go with there?
Well, I mean, let's talk about... You want to talk about Luke Gardner?
I don't know. Do you?
Why not? I want to talk about everything. Let's be clear here. I want to talk about all the topics, all the sensitive hot button things. I only get pushback sometimes. If we censor ourselves, the censorship's coming from this guy. Luke Gardner went ham.
He went out of
pocket. Tell him who Luke Gardner is.
Luke Gardner is a Penn State wrestler, but he's also apparently Mark Hall's roommate. And he went nuts on Twitter after Mark lost.
Yeah.
He was like, he called. So Imar sent a relatively, what I think was like, it wasn't like a too disrespectful tweet. I didn't think it was that bad. He said, he's like, I've been saying it, you know, college wrestling is just different.
College wrestling is just different.
Right? Which
is true.
It's true.
You got to. It's a fight every time.
I didn't read that and be like, and thought Imar was saying he's not ready for college wrestling. It's just like, it's different. Okay. So Luke Gardner
calls him a sissy and
I know
blah, blah, blah.
That's not what he called him.
I'm not going to say, you want me to say the word? I'll say the word.
Don't say the word, but don't say he called him a sissy when he called him a cat word. Let's call it a cat word. He said Mark would beat you, cat word. To Isaiah Martinez, he says this. Okay? So that was pretty... What? Is that funny? Come on, get it together.
Cat word!
Everyone knows what I
cat
mean.
Cat word!
Everyone knows what I mean, but don't say he says sissy, because that was...
He said pussy.
Oh, my God.
Offended.
Was cat word not clear?
This show needs a backbone.
Well,
this show needs a backbone.
Cats... have backbones, so everyone knew what I meant. Anyways,
we're not gonna say I will not participate in a show in which you say cat word.
Okay, well, too late. It already happened. So Luke, first he says, first match at Carver Hawkeye, cut him some slack, and then he goes, Mark would beat you, cat word. Okay,
pussy.
Then. Then
I thought we established this.
Then Tyler Berger.
Say that word.
Tyler Berger.
Will you say that word?
No, I will never. Tyler Berger then says, like, he responds.
Tyler Berger! Oh, from the top row.
Hold on. So, Imar then responds after he gets called the cat word. He says, I can't hear you from the bench, boy, to Luke Gardner.
That was pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay, then Tyler Berger says.
CP's all in on Twitter.
A bunch of emojis. And then Luke Gardner goes, yo, Berger, hashtag Nolf. Which, you know, that's real. You know, Nolf's there. But it's like, anyways, I guess my point here is he was out of pocket. And he was like that guy. Like, if all my friends were like, you know, big MMA fighters. And you're like that guy that you're kind of riding.
You're like in their entourage?
Yeah. It's like, yeah. You can talk all this trash because Jason Nolf and Mark Hall and Bo Nickel are on your team.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I thought it was pretty. Then I find out then.
I don't know.
Then the next morning, get this. I'm getting up, getting ready to leave. And Bader's like, yo, this Gardner kid called you retarded. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, he didn't. And I go back and look. And
I'm okay with that.
He sure enough did.
He called you?
He called me the R word.
Oh, because of my tweet, right?
Yeah.
Because I was saying something about he wasn't ranked. And I got confused.
Then,
yeah. And yes.
And then he called me retarded. And then.
Should we care about this? Not care. Should we be like, Gardner's a bad person? Or should we be like, he's sticking up for his guys? Like, who? So he called Imar a pussy.
I think it's topical. If nothing else, to have
a... No, okay, it's very topical, I'm glad we're talking about it. By the way, go nuts on Twitter. I love it. Say stuff, you know, people have been talking, Berger has said stuff on Twitter, Terry and Montoya, and now Luke Gardner, and there's this person tweeting it. So what? I mean, I'm not saying be out of pocket, but... Say what you want to say.
He didn't hold it well, except he deleted everything.
I mean, that's probably because Kale came down. The next day, Kale probably went like this.
He's like,
and Luke was like, delete. Right? I mean, you got to assume. He had to assume that they were going to take them down, but. So do you hold it against him? You think this kid's an idiot? Or, I mean, he did call you retarded.
Yeah.
So you probably are a little personal. But
my favorite part was like, he's like, if you got a problem with it, at me. And then he didn't even at me.
He didn't even at you.
He didn't even at me.
That's just not even proper etiquette.
Don't call me that behind my back. At least at me. He's probably going to at me really soon. But anyways, that was a really, you just don't see that with Penn State, like ever.
No.
Ever. No one gets out of pocket there.
No.
Bo Nickel had a mild celebration after he pinned it, and Kale was like, no.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Did Kale say something?
He was like, stop. Like,
really?
Yeah, because Bo gave one of the Hogan, the Hollywood.
Hey, Taylor all the time was right here.
Oh, DT was wild. He loved it. But anyway, Bo was really fired up. Anyways, so yeah, he was toning it down a little bit.
All right.
Speaking of, let's pull up that Nickel match. There's a lot of screenshots going on. Bo Nickel.
He was pinned. The wrong call was made.
Wrong call, clearly.
Listen, there's some Iowa fans that want Bo called for the fall here. Was he pinned?
First of all, no, he was not pinned.
Second of all, non-controlled falls.
That was a non-controlled fall. That was a controlled fall there. But this was, man, Brooks did everything. But finish this. I thought it was a great attack by him.
I thought it was too. Bo's just funky and
weird.
Not
weird
funky. Man. He's so resourceful and
resourceful.
I would like to say, you know, Iowa fans might like to say that it was flukish or this and that. But that's what Bo does all the time.
He has like a billion pins this year. Slight exaggeration. No, he pins people. So, yeah, he kind of, man, the place was nuts at that point. But we got to get into the match of the duel, Willie.
Which was what? Oh, Sorensen? Because the reason I said what, which was what, is because I thought you were going to go to your baby match that you've been talking about since Vietnam.
What, Gilman?
Gilman, yeah.
Siriano?
But we do have to talk about that.
We do have to talk about that. You know why I wanted to talk about it? Because of what we just saw happen at 125. Because he can go with him. Right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind. All right. First, let's pull up number two, Zane Sorensen. Let's talk about this match a little bit. What? At what point were you like, wow, this is really a match?
The second takedown.
Oh, wow. So you were a little late to it.
Oh, so you were all in before that? No,
Bader was all in. Zane got a caution, and he looks at me, and, like, Bader was like, something's up. Something's up with Zane. Like, he's like, this place just, like, changes people.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. And then that was before the takedown, the first takedown. Then this high cross.
This is the second one, right?
This is the second one. But, man, Brands talked about it. This guy, competitor, comes out, immediately escape takedown, and kind of takes the match away.
How does that even happen? He gets taken down, cuts, just dives in on a shot.
Dives in on a shot, completely extended, and finds a way to finish it. This was a crazy match. So this was by far the loudest Carver got, was when
really?
He got these escapes. I thought the place was going to explode.
Of all things, that was the craziest, how easily Sorensen escaped.
It wasn't easy. He got ridden out here. But there were...
On several occasions,
on occasions, though, he did get away, and he'd never done that before.
There was no riding time. I mean...
Right. He got away in time, so he went under. Look at Zane's red. Oh, his face does get red. Crazy, crazy match to see him push. But for Zane to gut that out, that was... Carver tagged Zane. They said, it's your turn. You are the next victim. You are Jordan Oliver.
Yeah.
It's your time to lose here, Zane. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But the Zane. Carver gods decided it was Zane, and he fought them off.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you make of it going forward? Do you say Sorensen can beat Zane?
No.
No, me neither.
I say Big Tens will be an awakening. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll happen again.
It was so...
I don't think...
So sort of frustrating. Not frustrating, but... A week ago, we watched Sorensen and Kalika...
Patty Cake.
Play Patty Cake.
10 minutes.
For 12 minutes. And this weekend, they both come out firing. Like, Kalika was just shooting, scoring points. And Sorensen's taken down Rutherford two times. I mean...
Yeah. So, Kale... Unintentionally... Kind of let it slip... That did you listen to the press conference?
No.
So he's like, you know, Zane wasn't feeling the best. I shouldn't. He's like, he immediately like walked it back. Like he regrets throwing that out there. But he was probably not feeling well. And maybe that's. We'll find out at Big Tens, guys. We'll find out if that's the new reality. Is that Zane and Sorensen are on the same level? We'll find out. Yeah. But color me shocked that, as you mentioned, a week before, he can't take down Anthony Kalika once, who is great right now. Kalika is wrestling well. But we're talking about Zane Rutherford, okay? This guy doesn't get taken down, and he got taken down twice. So what changed? Did Brandon Sorensen turn a corner and get on Zane Rutherford's level in a week? Or is there probably something else going on?
It's probably and the gargoyles in Carver Hawkeye, right? I mean, there's spirits there.
But we'll find out.
If Hawkeye fans are listening to this and being like, "Hey, you're totally negating, you know, you're totally downplaying Sorensen, and their gap is close." Okay, we'll find out at Big Ten.
We'll find out. That's my evaluation of the match, and you know what? We'll find out. Theoretically, he should take it to Micah Jordan if this Friday, if you know,
man,
he's on that level.
We could talk about matches. I guess we can talk about Ohio State Iowa on Thursday, but I just really want to talk about it.
We can do a little now, a little later. But I think there's other things we do need to get into. Zane Sorensen, we touched on that. Gilman.
Surgeon.
I don't know how much there is to say, honestly, other than Gilman was never really threatened. What?
Just Gilman just, and I love it, but this time he was not very truthful in his comments.
Oh, what did he say?
He said he chased Soriano around a mat.
There was a time that was in the match that was true, and there was a time that the opposite was true.
I think
early on, I think Soriano was getting his bearings and was not, and was being a little evasive. Then I think the exact was true for Soriano at the end. I think his confidence grew a little bit. But this is what I've always been saying about Gilman. It's like everyone thinks he's just this point scoring machine. If he's with someone on his level, it's a one takedown match. Basically every time.
I think Gilman had that built into his head going into the match.
What?
I think Gilman had it built into his head, and I'm not saying somebody built that into him. I'm saying perhaps he came up with it on his own, but
built what into his head?
That it was going to be a really tough close match. And it had to be. Because his comments pre-match were, I have to win this. No matter what, right?
And it wasn't like I'm gonna. He's a true freshman,
right? It wasn't like I'm gonna beat him to a pulp. I'm gonna score points.
I think he respected him.
Pound him. I think he respected him, and he went out there and he got a takedown and then coasted. And I'm not saying that he would have. I'm not saying Gilman can take Soriano down at will. I'm saying he took him down once and then he stepped off the gas.
Yeah.
And there's a school of thought, the train of thought that with each successive timeout, so when Soriano gets his hands on him, he'll learn and make adjustments, and maybe by the end of the year, Soriano can beat Gilman. That's one train of thought, right? That's a Penn State optimist view of things.
Just say it out loud. True freshman against the number one guy in the country, a fifth-year senior in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And it was a one-point match, and you were chasing him at the end. How many true freshmen step into that environment?
The most impressive thing of the whole match was Soriano stood in the middle. He didn't get pushed around. You can say that Gilman
he evaded a little, but he never was on the edge.
He wasn't out-physicaled either. Like,
no.
But now, all that being said, I don't know. Soriano never threatened. He had one sort of kind of shot.
He got his hands and legs. He never got a lock.
So you can tell me that it was a close match. You can say that everything was against Soriano. You can say all these things. You can say every time, you know, you could say that Soriano will have a higher learning curve and it benefits him more the more times they meet. But I've seen nothing of evidence that says Soriano can take him down.
Yeah, maybe not. I guess
it's one of the most intriguing matches for sure. And then you have Joey Dance out there that,
who, you know, he hasn't seen. You know, Dance has wrestled tough guys, but really, when there's only three contenders, which I believe there's only three, he hasn't hit the other two.
That's right.
And he won't.
Okay, so
at any point,
I mean, they lose Stoll.
That sucks. That was such a, like, a.
I like, know.
To see, and because not only is it, it kind of, it hurts the team race, it hurts Iowa, but the kid.
That's right.
Because now it's the same knee, the same thing. Is it ever going to get, it's like the Band-Aid, right? Like, once it tears, once it's messed up, can it ever be?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but like I don't know what ACLs do. I don't know what knees do, but I know that kids.
You have some idea what knees do.
I know that kids have had repeated multiple surgeries on the same shoulder, and after the second one, it seems to be good.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And this is why
I just hope for Sam's sake.
Yes,
you know,
kid loves wrestling. He's really good, and you know he wrestled the end of that match with a jacked up knee. You know, it was torn then, and that's, you know, it's kind of why he lost the match too. You know,
yeah, and you know what's another interesting point, and It sort of makes me mad because of the 9.9 deal. I don't know. But this is a whole nother thing. But Iowa, Penn State, both two top programs in the country, right, on an annual basis. Iowa is going to be left with zero real heavyweights. Penn State has to start George Carpenter.
Yeah.
At 33. I mean, the way college wrestling is, you can say, well, you know, a lot of the top teams build up and they hog all the talent, and sometimes
yeah.
not.
Yeah, I mean, a year ago, I saw something complaining about why do we not have better depth at heavyweight. And I was like, it was like a complaint about the coaching staff not having more depth. I'm like, let's talk about Penn State's depth at heavyweight 1 year ago, because they had to pull a guy off the football team.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, easy to do. Holloway is a solid backup type of guy.
Well, he's not big enough yet either.
He's not big enough. And, you know, I liked Holloway coming into this year as a 97.
Yeah.
I thought he would have had a nice year. And I think maybe, you know, if Stoll stays healthy, he might come in and take – might have come in and taken the job from Wilkie. I think that was maybe in the works. And Wilkie's not a 97. He's an 84.
I mean, that's right.
So it happens. It's hard. It's hard to fill.
It's hard.
Yeah, for sure. Then 133, Willie. I mentioned George Carpenter, 133, is bananas right now. And it became bananas when Seth Gross beat Cade Brock and completely threw a wrench into that entire field from 2 through 6 or 7. And it left us with some pretty tough choices. And we kept Cade at 2 and Clark at 3. But it's crazy because Brock lost to Gross, beat Clark. Clark lost to Brock, but has been great forever, and beat Micic.
Mm-hmm.
Micic beats Gross, lost to Micic.
Finkel is Einhorn.
Right. Gross
right.
beats
right.
Brock, lose to Montoya. I mean, it's all of these inconsistent results, and you stack it up, and you have to try to figure it out.
I think you got it right.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is there aren't many.
Tomasello undefeated with a win over.
Doesn't matter. He's number one.
Right. Cade Brock, one loss. Corey Clark, one loss, which is to Brock. So, right? The rest of them have multiple losses.
It kind of falls in line. Like, every guy looks up, and there's a guy that beat him. Like, Clark lost to Brock, so he can't complain. Montoya is 0-2 against Clark. Gross lost to Montoya. Richards and Gross never hit. And I think Richards and Micic, there's separation there. Richards.
I think it worked out well.
Yeah. So that was my rankings nightmare, but it wasn't actually all that bad otherwise.
All right. Talk about – where you want to go next? You want to talk about Imar?
Imar Massa?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they hit. You said +4. It was a 2.1 takedown win for Isaiah Martinez over Massa. I would say Massa really didn't get a whiff. I think those matches mirrored each other. Gilman, Soriano, and Massa Imar were like mirror images.
I didn't think that. I am more surprised that it's a 2-point match. I mean, I am more less surprised that it's a 2-point match, and more surprised than that it was 3-1. I thought it'd be like, if it's a 2-point match, I would say 8-6.
Like, yeah.
Those guys go.
They go, but Imar's so hard to score on. You know, he can, you know, he. You would think that with Jason Nolf too, right? But they had, their last two matches were extremely low scoring. Their Big Ten final, I don't even think had a takedown. Well, their NCAA was kind of back and forth.
I mean, but Massa, I think if there's a knock on Massa, maybe, I don't know. Massa tries to score to point that he's okay with giving up takedowns. So I thought for sure there was going to be points there.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, his, the book on Massa is.
He took down Johnny Sebastian 12 times the other day. 12 times.
That's insane. That's a lot of takedowns. What I was going to say, if you're set up on that shot from space, I just feel like Imar is just like really prepared and just ready for it. And Massa's going to need a different setup to take down Isaiah Martinez. It was one high crotch for Aimar and negotiated the finish, and that was it. Kind of, he got the takedown early, and that was basically it. He rode him out in the first. So that was basically that match. We should recap the Willie Pickhams. I'm pretty sure we tied because.
Well, who did I get right that you didn't?
Richards Micic. That's what I get because I've always been like higher on Micic or higher on Richards than you, and then I just blew it. So
that was the one that I said. It doesn't make sense to my own kind of thing, right? Recency.
Right, right. So I picked Gross. You picked Brock. You got that one wrong. We both picked Dance over Mueller. He majored. We both picked Price over Real Buto. Wrong.
You picked.
We both picked Brunson over Amin, which happened, but then Brunson lost to Engelkes or something.
Trace Engelkes.
Engelkes. Massa Aimar, we both took Aimar. And then Micic Zane, we split. I took Micic, he took Zane, which was a really fun match, actually. Zane refused to stop attacking. It was fun.
Yeah, that's why I kind of. I figured he'd be mad after that Tomasello.
Yeah, it was quite a response. And he's really strong too. All
right, so one last thing I want to ask you about, you know, I got to sneak my high school stuff in here sometime. So, this week at Who's Number 1 Duels, which is went really well. Blair won for the second straight year. But Malvern beat Bergen. But anyway, so I guess my point is I want to ask you about the local guy back home does a great job. Brad Wilson wrote this article about when forfeits. This was in response to Who's Number One Duels, and he wrote when forfeits are sort of acceptable. Like they're sort of, you know, a hometown paper. Mikey Labriola is ranked number one in the country, and he's getting forfeited to, and he's saying a lot of people locally come out just to watch Mikey, right? Or not just to watch Mikey, but that's what they're looking forward to. And then Mikey gets forfeited to a couple times by the, you know, some two of the biggest schools, two of the highest ranked schools in the country. And so his rationale is, Brad Wilson's rationale is, it's okay. He'll accept a forfeit when it helps you win the duel, but not when it's just to forfeit to their best kid.
Yeah.
I mean, forfeits are, they're a problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're terrible. And I get the strategy involved in bumping guys around, but I think it's one of the big, if you're Mr. Team Duel Meet and you think duels are the most amazing thing and they're the saving grace to wrestling, you don't see this in college much, but in high school wrestling, it's hard enough in a duel meet to get the studs to hit. And then when you've got these guys bumping around, it's like basically duel meets can't be maximized because coaches are always going to bump around and not try to hit guys and don't want to hit stud versus stud because it doesn't help them. We'll send this guy out here to go get majored so we can go pin up here. And then you end up with a bunch of athletic and wrestling mismatches. And then it's like, it's like, who can create the most mismatches in this duel meet, in these four? There's too many.
That's what high school duel meets come down to. You never see it in college. You never see it in
there's
college.
There's only 10 weights there's for ten, one.
There's 10 weights, and it's my stud versus your stud. There's no real running to a hole. Another problem is
the issue in college.
To weigh in.
Yeah. The issue in college is guys just don't wrestle.
Guys just don't wrestle.
I'm not gonna wrestle. It's not even a forfeit.
The funny thing is in and another thing though, real quick, is that injuries. I've never seen so many injuries in high school.
Are there a lot?
Man, I don't want to be that dude that questions people's toughness, but these guys sit out all the time. That's what a couple weeks ago I tweeted, you better be like half dead if you're going to miss a duel meet. And a lot of people thought I was talking about college. I was not talking about college. I was talking about a high school duel and I'm not going to name names, but you see guys miss a lot. A lot more. When I was, right, I'm going to go back there.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, you miss something, your team let you know about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that goes on anymore.
Not with the studs. No, they call the shots.
I mean, if I was going to miss something, I'd be called a C. It's a cat word.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably because you miss weight by 32 pounds.
No, I only missed one or two ever.
That's pretty bad. To let your team down twice.
I mean, one was like against a team down the street that had three kids in their lineup. Didn't matter. Anywho, but there's a lot of kids missing matches. I don't get. And then in high school, you're right. It becomes, look, I know the numbers, right? I know what people want to see. What people don't want to see, and it's proven time and time again when you check traffic numbers, people are not interested in a dual meet between this team, and they could have any number next to them
in high school.
You want. This is high school.
1 versus 2.
You could have 1 versus 2 in the country, but if it's going to turn into, I have the kid ranked 6th in the nation against your scrub, and then that team has the kid ranked 4th in the country against the other team's scrub. Nobody wants to see a bunch of kids get pinned. No one wants to see jockeying around and making forfeits so that you can win the duel.
Yeah.
It's just not palatable.
Yeah. I don't know how much more there is for me to even add other than I agree. And it's...
But you made a good point. In high school, they do that. They jockey around... In college is like, oh, I got a hangnail. We're going to hold him out.
We're
going to hold him out.
Keep it eyes on – hashtag eyes on March.
Eyes on March. and there's no sense risking injury. And, it could play a role in seeding.
Seeding.
You know, you got to wonder about seeding. You got to worry about seeding.
Mess of the seed. We really want that 8-9 spot.
And then this is – so this conversation that we're having, this is the coaching staff in the locker room, right? This is the coaching staff. But to the media – duels are the most important thing. Duels make our sport grow. We have to increase duels. Hey, wrestler X, he had a bloody nose.
Yeah.
Let's not risk it.
Yeah. He's dealing with a breakup.
Yeah.
Dealing with a breakup right now.
He has a test on Monday.
There is no cure for a broken heart, Willie.
There is none.
Let him sit. So, yeah, that's the problem. But then at the same time, it's tough to, like... question that, because wrestling is, we just watched Sam Stoll's ACL tear in one match.
I get it. I get that. But don't be contradictory. Mm. Don't be contradictory. Don't tell everybody that duels are the biggest thing and matter. They matter, and that's how you save the sport, and that's how you grow the sport, by getting the duels are the biggest thing, and they bring in more people, and you get local.
Blah, blah.
Publicity, and you bring kids into the gym, and that's the most important thing. That's how we're going to grow the sport. And then every time a cold wind blows, you don't have your lineup out there.
Yeah. No, it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating, and I wish we didn't see it quite as much. But I think for me, the issue is it's always going to be like this now. So I think you can't say, because this happens every year, we have to stop saying that duels are going to save anything. Because it's not. You will never see the full product. And even if no one holds anyone out, just some guys will not be physically available because of the nature of the sport from November to March.
No, absolutely. But I said it 10 years ago when they started this mantra of duels matter.
Yeah.
And I'll say it now. It ain't going to change anything. And the coaches aren't going to do. The coaches aren't going to change their ways either.
No, I agree. They've got a job to do, and it doesn't involve winning a duel in December.
That's right.
They get paid for what happens.
I can't wait for next show. Listen, what if, and we'll talk about this next show, what if Iowa beats Ohio State, Ohio State beats Penn State? We'll talk about it next episode.
Mm. We're going scenarios here. We're going scenarios. Yeah, because you were a little...
I didn't...
You did.
Presumptuous.
You were very presumptuous.
We'll talk about it next.
We'll talk about your presumptuosity on the next show.
Presumptuation.
Presumptuations, I should say. But for right now, we thank you so much. for tuning in to exactly 173 episodes of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. 174 will be brought to you by Kyle Kretschmer. He's our honorary 174 pounder.
He's on all our teams.
We will be back next Thursday. Willie has already gone on the record, committed to Thursday. Keep your eyes on Flow Wrestling. We've got a lot of good content going up all day, every day. Are we doing it like this? Like magic? Behind the back? Thank you guys so much, and we will see you next time.